Bump, bump. Oh, hey, I didn't see you there, live audience. How's it going, everybody? This is Q with Project Nerd, and we are back again for another installment of The Last Round. You guys know the game show, you love it, but for those of you who don't know the game show and don't love it yet, I'll give you a quick rundown. This is the game show where we have some lovely contestants that join us to give their opinions on today's hot button topic. And if their opinion is good, they'll be awarded points. And if their opinion is terrible, they'll be deducted points. And after the points are tallied, we will decide who moves on to the next round. The game will consist of three rounds, with the final round being one question and two of our contestants going head-to-head for the penultimate last word. Now, the last word, and I'll tell this to our contestants too, is your 30 seconds to do whatever you've ever wanted to do live and with a captive audience, right? So we've had people chew Big League Chew for 30 seconds and describe its taste. We've had people plug whatever series or show or situation they have going on. We've had people use it as a soapbox to tell their, you know, deepest, darkest political leanings. No, don't do that. I'm just kidding. Do not do that. Nobody tunes into Project Nerd to hear your political stance. Outside of that, I would like to introduce our amazing guests. Speaking of, I'm going to start with this way because that's the way that I pointed first. So this way we have Mia St. Clair. What's happening, Mia?
Hello, hello, hello.
Mia St. Clair is co-host of High Five the Podcast, model extraordinaire, amazing personality of Project Nerd. You can find her literally all over the Project Nerdiverse. Speaking of High Five the Podcast, we'll go down this way. This is Jay from High Five the Podcast. How's it going, Jay?
It's going really good. Thank you for having me back, Q.
Oh my gosh. Anytime, you know that it's not possible to get rid of you. I didn't even invite you, and somehow you're still here as a contestant.
Because you left the link open.
Damn it. Jay is also our chief production officer here at Project Nerd. So he's the dude overseeing all of the video and podcast goodness that you get on the regular.
Oh, you'll see my face around.
That's true. That's very true. Speaking of video and podcast goodness, we are joined by two brand new members of the Project Nerd family. Let's start to Jay's right, I believe. This is Rachel. What's happening, Rachel?
Hello. I'm happy to be here.
Oh my gosh, we're so happy to have you. Now, Rachel is a member of Murder, She Joked. And if you already know what that is, fantastic. And if you don't, I will tell you. Murder, She Joked is the newest podcast to the Project Nerd family, and it is an improvised true crime podcast. If you like true crime and you like improvised comedy, this is going to be a chef's kiss for you. You are absolutely going to adore this show. She is joined by a gang of hilarious friends that put together these episodes. And all of that will be coming to you at the first of the month in July. Boom! Announcement happening right here on The Last Word. That's what people tune in for, is those cutting edge announcements. Next up, and last but definitely not least, we have Haley. What is up, Haley?
Hi, guys.
Now, Haley is joining us in a video capacity. Haley is going to be the star of a new video series coming to the Project Nerd YouTube channel in August called The Horror Knot. And the idea of that, if people are like, what is a horror knot? Well, I'll tell you. First off, it's a made-up word. Second off, it's a made-up word that you're going to know very, very well by the end of this series. The idea is Haley's going to deep dive into the nooks and crannies of the horror universe. And each episode will focus on a question such as, what is hip-hop and horror's relevance to each other, right? And then Haley will explore that topic and then hopefully leave you knowing more by the end of it. And if not, you can, you know, always drop comments in there and be like, hey, I didn't learn anything. And you know, we'll boot you off the Project Nerd YouTube channel.
And if you're like, hey, what about those credentials? You may recognize Haley because she's been writing about horror for High Five the Podcast for a while now. So you can go on our website and find a whole bunch of back articles where she's been talking about this for years. So guys, if you want to follow along on this horror journey, which I will be doing because Haley, you know, I'm a huge fan as well. This is going to be amazing.
Wow, that touches my heart.
Now, before we dive in, I do want to go ahead and get our ad out of the way, right? So tonight's last round is brought to you by Geek Grind Coffee. Geek Grind Coffee is 100% hand-harvested coffee for geeks by geeks. The rich Colombian blends will keep you alert and ready no matter the quest. Head on over to geekgrindcoffee.com/project-nerd and use the code PRONERD20 for 20% off your first order. That's geekgrindcoffee.com/project-nerd. Are you guys ready to get to the first round of The Last Word?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Let's do this. All right, guys. Why is it? Oh, there we go. It was still going. I was like, this is just video.
I feel like I needed segment. To provide music.
It's like, it's never going to. It's never going to end. All right. So we're going to dive right in, guys. First question of the night. We're going straight for the hardball stuff, all right? So a gritty Powerpuff Girls reboot pilot was just scrapped at the CW, written by Diablo Cody, who you may know from Juno and Jennifer's Body, that would have seen the titular heroes now in their early 20s and no longer fighting crime. According to leaked script pages, the reboot depicted Bubbles as a fame-chasing Instagram model type constantly being joked about for being promiscuous, Blossom as an anxiety-ridden adult living with PTSD of their crime-fighting past, and Buttercup as a pretty on-the-nose, hard-edged lesbian trope. What is your take on rebooting kids' shows as gritty, adult-themed series? And if you could pick one series to get that treatment, what would it be? Let's kick the night off with Haley. Nope, Haley. give us your thoughts on that question.
I personally don't mind them going for the more gritty adult themes in these rebooted kids shows, because we were the kids watching them anyways. So like, the new age kids don't need to watch these reboots. That's for us. Okay.
That's for the grown-ups.
But however, I feel like the things that they choose typically end up kind of cheesy, like Sabrina and Riverdale. I really just didn't enjoy it, but I feel like there's a lot of potential there if it's done right. And I love Diablo Cody, so there's plenty of potential with this.
Yeah.
Even though what you said, Blossom has PTSD. There's potential.
So interesting. And if you had to pick a show to get rebooted into a gritty adult reboot, what would you go with?
My answer has literally always been the same. The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy. I would love to see that live action.
Yeah.
It's already got the adult undertones too, so I feel like you wouldn't have to reach so hard.
That's a really good one.
Just do it.
I love that. That sounds awesome. As soon as you said it, I was like already picturing like a realistic Grim Reaper, like Grim. That sounds awesome. I'm 100% in. Let's see. Rachel, what are your thoughts?
Okay, so to be honest, the writers for Powerpuff Girls have always been a little bit edgy.
Sure.
So not sure if you're aware, but Cerebellum's address was 69 Yodelinda Valley. So it doesn't seem, right? So it doesn't seem like too much of a stretch for a cartoon to be turned into a gritty adult series. So pause there. And on the same note, live action reboots are, like, we all know they're not unfamiliar to Hollywood. We've got Scooby-Doo. Right. We've got Avatar The Last Airbender. Pretty much anything from Disney from the last decade.
Sure.
All of these things have something in common, and that thing is, even though they're grittier, they're still geared toward the same audience, which is families with children.
Sure.
So for me, based on the script from the PPG pilot, the series is not for that audience. And I get it. Fans of the original Powerpuff Girls series are older now, but are they really? Because they just rebooted the animated series in 2016. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of rekindled a new young audience. And so I'm not sure that it totally makes sense to do this kind of show right now. Okay. So generally, and to summarize, I'm not a huge fan of the live action reboot concept, but I'm generally okay with it as long as the whimsy and the innocence of the original series is preserved. Because I like the idea that kids should be just as welcome to enjoy the reboot as much as their nostalgic parents.
Yeah. I like that. And so if you had to pick one to be rebooted, what would be your one?
I would choose another Cartoon Network show to keep it in the same vein. Okay. But it would be Samurai Jack.
Ooh, good one. Okay.
Yeah.
100%.
Samurai Jack's just real good.
So we're talking like a real gritty, like Borderlands or Game of Thrones style, like Samurai
Jack. Oh, not Game of Thrones.
Because Game of Thrones is too much. Oh, got it. Okay. So like pull like Game of Thrones 50%.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like minus all the sex and boobies.
Sure.
Yeah.
No boobies in Samurai Jack, but lots of decapitation.
Most of the sex and all of the boobies.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay. I want to be able to share that. I want to be able to share that experience with my niece and nephew.
Okay. Got it. 100% with it. Jay, what do you got?
Okay, so when I first heard this question, my mind immediately went to cat dog a la Human Centipede. That's the first place it went.
Of course.
But of course. So let me state for the record, I'm a fan of Diablo Cody, but I was 1,000% in favor of this getting scrapped. I read some of those pilot scripts pages and it's rough. Like what this show was going to be, I'm totally fine with it getting scrapped. Having said that, I do like the idea of updating a kid show, but sort of echoing what Rachel said is knowing that it's for our audience. So the shows, like, obviously you could do like Street Sharks or Gargoyles and that could be fun. But honestly, I went to kind of more Cartoon Network stuff as well. And I thought of two that I was fighting between. So I'll do both of them, but I'll name the top one. So the second one would be like a Johnny Bravo update, a la The Wrestler, that really looks at toxic masculinity.
All right. Okay. So like
a washed up, beautiful man who is the Johnny Bravo archetype in a world that does not accept that anymore. That could be fun. But what I landed on and what I want is I want an updated Fairly Odd Parents in the vein of Drop Dead Fred, where Timmy is old and he may or may not be going crazy and he needs his Fairly Odd Parents to come back into his life and they may or may not ruin it.
Oh, that's intense.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I want a coming of age Timmy movie where his Fairly Odd Parents come back in the vein of Drop Dead Fred.
That's my answer. I like that. I like that very much.
I thought way too much about this when you sent this over. I was like, you know what? Yeah, I'm going for it.
I love it. Man, these are some great choices. We're really mining the depths of Cartoon Network here. So Mia, what do you got? And is it on Cartoon Network?
Yes, it is on Cartoon Network, and mine is a solid, resounding no. Mine is such a hard no, such a hard no. To go along with what Rachel said, that they're making it like it's supposed to be also a familial thing. I don't want that. Mm-hmm. I don't want that. If you're going to make it gritty, go full into the grit and give me full adult content. I already watched it as a kid. I had the experience as a kid. Kids already have their own shows. They don't need any more shows. What we need now is if you want the grit, give us a grit. Give us all of it. The full adult content and grit. I don't want to have to. I could go rewatch those shows if I wanted to. And they're on the streaming platforms. Perfectly fine. What I want is the full adult experience for these shows. So
like Powerpuff Girls porn?
What?
Or
wow.
I want the full adult experience.
I am 100%
sure adult you can find that.
I'm pretty sure you could find that online. But do you mean like Powerpuff Girls a la the Harley Quinn show?
Yes.
I love that.
Okay. Like bloody and violent and adult. And
that's
saying
what I want.
Fuck and...
Yes.
Maybe not with all the sex and boobies of Game of Thrones like we talked about, but like that level.
Yes.
I can see that.
All right. So then what is your show that you would pitch as an adult movie reboot?
My show, despite what I just said, is Dexter's Lab. Dexter's Lab is what I would go for. Give me a genius child who is growing up and is constantly trying to find ways to outsmart himself. He's going crazy. I want to watch his mental deteriorate as the show's going on. I want a Dee Dee. I want a Dee Dee who knows she's not as smart as he is, but she's got the heart. And she feels like she's fallen so far behind her brother that she's dealing with her own complexes. Like I want a deeper Dee Dee. And that's what I want. That's what I want. I want to be able to watch you fall apart, Dexter. I want to watch you fall apart. That's what I want.
I just want to see Dexter say omelette du fromage over and over again in real life.
That's my favorite episode. That's my favorite episode.
And then Anya Taylor-Joy comes in as Dee Dee.
That's a great casting choice.
I will say, I feel like everybody's kind of taken the Christopher Nolan route on this. Everybody's like, all right, so we want like this cartoon series, but I want like gritty realism, right? Like, I want Dexter going mentally insane. No, I just love it. I'm not agreeing. I'm saying I love it. And clearly people are loving it as well. Let's see here. We've got Joe Becker is saying, I want to see a real life Mandark.
Yes, with his theme music. Can you imagine a bad guy that has his own background music all the time? Oh, yes.
We've got OC is saying, Grim Adventures. Yep. Great answer. Totally agree with that one 100%. But then he quickly turned code on that one and said, Jay wins this round, and we're not even done yet.
Thank you, OC.
Then again,
bro, you're supposed to be on my side.
His opinion may be skewed because he also said I should be president.
So, I agree with that too.
He's all over the board.
OC's got a great opinions.
Since we did mine Cartoon Network, one that didn't come up, and Justin was very vocal about it. Ed, and Eddie. No gritty Ed, and Eddies.
No, I thought of that, but
by your reaction alone,
I couldn't picture that.
No way. It would end up like the other shows. It would end up like a drama. I don't want that.
Boring. Like a boring brotherly family drama.
I don't want that.
All right. So here's what I got. At the end of this round, this is a tight race, guys. You all had killer answers. Haley, I absolutely love your idea for the Grim Adventures. It's one that didn't even like pop into my head. So as soon as you said it, I was like, oh, I like that. That could be weird and dark. I very much like that. So I gave you 5 points in this round. Rachel, you also got 5 points in this round because once again, you guys are just like pulling out these answers, these ideas that I didn't even think about. And I love, and I think it may say a lot about the type of cartoon that Cartoon Network used to program. But their stories tend to be more three-dimensional, right? Their stories tend to have kind of that darker edge already in it. And Samurai Jack is one of those shows that I loved growing up. And I would love to see just like a real martial arts sweeping epic version of Samurai Jack.
Either that or Cow and Chicken. Rachel.
Minus all boobs. No boobs in Samurai
Jack.
No boobies. I'm also for that. And Mia, I gave you 5 points as well because, man, you're crushing it. Dexter's Lab, I love that. It's one of my favorite shows ever. And I agree, I would really like to see a weird, like, descent into madness from Dexter as he, like, tries to just harness his genius ability. I also really like the idea of Dee Dee being a more, like, realized character in that show. Mm-hmm. And I definitely want to see a real-life Mandark. But I will agree with OC. I'm going to award Jay 6 points because he said Anya Taylor-Joy for the casting, but also because he came locked and loaded with 2 animated shows, both of which I would watch, if I'm being honest. A toxic masculinity skewer, Johnny Bravo. I love that idea. Closing out the first question, we've got Haley 5 points, Rachel 5 points, Mia 5 points, Jay 6 points, and that takes us into question number 2. All right, guys. In a huge power move, Amazon has purchased MGM Studios for like $8.6 billion. This is the first acquisition of a movie studio by one of the streaming giants and may be a signal that more of this is to come. This means franchises like James Bond, will officially reside in the house that Bezos built and almost certainly guarantees that they will exclusively live on Amazon Prime for streaming at some point in the near future. Now, that said, how do you guys feel about that kind of thing? Potentially even seeing a headline like Paramount Pictures acquired by Netflix sometimes in the near future. Let's start it off with Jay this round. Jay, what do you got?
You know, I had a lot of emotions when this headline came through, and there have been a lot of rumblings about this, and I was trying to think of like a funny way or a funny joke to go into this topic with, but I'll be completely honest. I landed on, it kind of scares me. The idea that Disney owns what it owns, and now Amazon and Bezos and all that is owning what they own, and then you've got Netflix that is a force in all of this. And so you're getting into this kind of weird world where everything is going to fall behind one of two or three gates. And that's a scary world for content and art to live in. And so that scares the shit out of me. So nothing really funny. That's a scary one for me. I love the idea, and I'm a Prime member. I love the idea of having all of those. And I made a joke on Facebook today. I was like, you know what this means? James Bond Stargate crossover. Like, there are funny ideas of it, but in all fairness, it might be too much under too few umbrellas.
I like that. That's some interesting food for thought for sure. Let's jump around here. Rachel, what are your thoughts on the situation?
Gosh, Jay's just like taking words out of my mouth, man.
Sorry, yeah, no, have them. Well, you can have them back.
Okay,
yeah.
To be fair, that's not good. This is a game that hinges on the words that come out of your mouth.
I still have original thoughts. So,
all right, perfect.
I'm going to kick this one off with a joke that Jay didn't deliver. So I find it ironic that the Bond franchise is going to be owned by Amazon because in my mind, Jeff Bezos is like the quintessential Bond villain. He's got loads of cash. He's got way too much power. And he's just bald generally as shit. A hella creepy guy. Yeah, and bald. Yeah,
I love it.
Get that dude a cat that he can pet incessantly.
Exactly. But I'm on the same boat as Jay. I'm not really concerned with accessibility because humans are resourceful. We can always find a way to consume the content that we crave. But I am also concerned with media consolidation. Don't get me wrong. Like, there are sometimes changes like this that are good, in that they can breathe new life into an already beloved franchise. So like the Marvel series, I think, is a really great example of that. But there's always a tipping point. And after that, it's just like a cash cow getting milked for all it's worth. Often
for every labyrinth reboot, you have way too many other things.
Right. Right. And so usually those situations occur at the expense of the story. And so as much as I would love for movies like Hook and Indiana Jones to be permanent fixtures in my Netflix stream, I wonder how long it's going to take for the content to turn to crap, because money helps a lot, but it doesn't buy creativity.
No.
Oh man, I want that on a t-shirt. Money doesn't buy creativity. Yeah. That's nice. I like that. Speaking of creativity, let's go with Haley. Haley, what's your creative answer on this topic?
I completely agree with Jay and Rachel. I think for browsing purposes, it's super convenient and awesome. Like, if I want to watch MGM movies, I go on Amazon, and they've got, what, they said like 4,000 movies and 17,000 hours of television, which is outrageous. I love that idea, but then again, everything seems to be consolidated to one area, and when I hear exclusive, all I hear is more money for subscriptions, and I already know I'm going to subscribe to everything, so...
Yeah.
I'm going to be broke.
Same. My wallet is hurting for sure.
Right. But I love the idea of everything kind of being in one place. But then again, there's a lot of terrible things that come with that. And it's just going to be a media war at some point, I feel like.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Sure. All right. Mia, what do you got? I know you got some thoughts on this.
Oh, I absolutely have some thoughts. My overall thought is, if Netflix buys it, I'm okay with it. because Netflix started as a streaming service, stays as a streaming service, will continue to be a streaming service. They're also one of the only streaming services that tries to develop, not one of the only, I'll take that back. They are a streaming service that isn't afraid to try out ideas that may not always sound the best to them, but somehow magically clicks with the audience and that works. I would not want Amazon to do it. I am upset that Amazon is the one who has done it. Like, of course they have the funds and stuff, but their touch into film was all or entertainment was already a little bit of a problem. It, like, not that I want everybody to stay in their lane, but that guy doesn't need to be in this lane. He could be in other lanes. He can literally afford other lanes. He doesn't need to be in this lane. And acquiring all the, like, it's just, I get it from a financial aspect. It's an investment point. Okay, whatever. But I would be so much more okay with it if it was a streaming service like Netflix or like Hulu that truly devotes its entirety to entertainment and really, at least from my understanding, respects the entertainment industry. I feel like Bezos does not, and therefore will only mess it up more.
All right, man, talk about passion. Ooh. I asked for passion and I got passion. I love it. Clearly we have people, you know, obviously we're all huge fans of Bezos. Speaking of which, we do have an affiliate link on the project-nerd.com website. So make sure you buy all your Amazon purchases through there. Thanks.
And this comment is from Bezos. Like,
speaking of, we've got some audience members chiming in here. The Amazon logo is a villainous smirk. Mm-hmm. Not wrong. If you turn the box upside down, it's also a frown. And then OC completely agreeing with Mia. Amazon should stick to fulfilling my drunk 2 a.m. orders.
Right.
I like that. I like that. All right, guys, this is a hard one. And I have some thoughts too. All right. So I'm going to break it down here. Let's start with Jay. Jay, I like your thoughts, man. I agree. I think getting too much consolidated under one roof, you start to lose what made those individual studios their own studio, right? Like, Disney has essentially Disneyfied all of the Infinity Stone production companies that it has collected, right, over the past couple of years. Like, Lucasfilm has been Disneyfied. Pixar was already Disneyfied. But you've got Marvel has definitely been Disneyfied. So I do think that there is some concern to be said about, like, you know, major corporations taking over these movie studios. Now, that being said, I'm going to award you 3 points for this round because, not that you didn't have a great answer, but I will say that I liked Rachel's joke better, and she also had the same answer that you had.
Valid. Valid.
I do think Jeff Bezos is totally a Bond villain waiting to happen. Literally get the dude a cat and, like, a giant oversized chair that he can just, like, sit in. And 100% he will expect you to die every time. That being said, Rachel, I gave you 5 points because it was a solid answer. Jay had the same answer, but you got 2 extra points because of your better joke. Haley, I gave you 5 points for this round as well, mainly because you spoke to something that I didn't really hear from anybody else yet, which is, it absolutely is concerning for your wallet. That is a big concern that people don't really think about, is as these corporations take on these studios and they increase their libraries, then all they see that is more reason to gouge you to pay to see the things that you love. So I am actually, like, as people don't love that there's like 37 different streaming services right now, I actually don't mind it because that means each person has their own, like, small library and I'm paying like $4 to check out their movies. It's when all of them get combined into Amazon or Netflix and my subscription becomes the same as a cable subscription that I start having a problem. No. You know what I mean?
I'm totally fine to pay for Shudder, but I don't need like everything all at once again. And then also Shudder.
Exactly. And I'm going to give you 5 points. So that brings me to Mia. Mia, I love your passion. I do. But I'm going to throw something out there that I feel like kind of contradicts your statement on Amazon Prime. So Amazon Prime Video, I'm a big like streamer user. So I've been on top of all of the streaming services like since their inception. I remember when legitimately Netflix only had Legally Blonde 2 available to stream on Netflix streaming because that's all they could get the rights for back when it first launched. But I will tell you that Amazon has actually been a studio, because the studio itself is not run by Bezos, is actually very pro creator. So they used to do something that I've never seen another streaming service do, which is something called pilot season. And what they would do is they would actually give creators the opportunity to air via their streaming service a series of pilots. And then the audience would vote on the best pilots and those would be given season orders. I love that idea. It's speaking directly to the people who are watching it, right? You have shows that like I Love Dick that came out, which was an awesome show starring Kevin Bacon that was the way tick, too short-lived.
The Tick was the Tick part of that.
Was a pilot season pickup. You had a bunch of shows like that. So I will say that while I liked your impassioned answer, I disagreed with its content. So you got 3 points as well. So if we look at our tally at the end of the round, that brings Haley to a total of 10. That brings Rachel to a total of 10. Mia to a total of 8. And Jay to a total of 9, just beating out Mia. And that means we have to say goodbye to Mia. You are the first casualty of the last round. Please stick around and we'll see you at the end of the show. Everybody say bye, Mia.
Bye, Mia.
I'll miss your beautiful face.
We all will. All right. So that means, guys, it is time for round number 2.
Fight.
All right, so Jay is going into this round with negative 30 points because of his annoying music in between the interstitials. No,
you know,
really
there's
all.
No way to prove that was me.
Guys, your points do carry over from the last round, though. So we've got Rachel starting with 10, Jay starting with 9, Haley starting with 10, and I'm ready to dive into the first question around 2. Now, we're starting off with a movie that I recently saw. I'm not going to say whether I liked it or not, so just be aware that I have opinions, and let's hope your opinions match. Round number 2, question 1. Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead has officially hit Netflix, and reviews are, well, all over the board. Even still, one thing that everyone can seem to agree on is that Tig Notaro is an awesome addition, and apparently hashtag sexy AF, or as Tig likes to retweet, hashtag sexy as AF. With pretty seamless integration into the film via green screen and replacing douche canoe Chris D'Elia, is this sort of late in the game replacement something you're excited to see more of when actors break bad, or is this the beginning of a concerning cancel culture trend? Let's go with Haley. Start us off with this first question. What you got?
Cancel culture is my favorite argument with anybody. There is no such thing as cancel culture if they freaking deserve it. Nobody wants to watch a predator on their TV screen just dancing around getting their money. Nobody wants to see that. But there's other situations like Amber Heard and Johnny Depp. Everybody perceived Johnny Depp as the abuser and canceled him when in reality it was Amber Heard the whole time. So there's a lot of situations where cancel culture, quote unquote, can be a terrible thing, but 9 times out of 10, the person who's getting canceled freaking deserves it. Chris D'Elia.
Get out of here.
I'm out of here.
Let's go with Jay. What's your thoughts on the subject?
So, first off, any chance to cut Chris D'Elia out of anything, I'm in.
Like, he didn't say.
I am 1,000. Even his own comedy specials are better if he's not talking. Okay. Having said that, the digitization and input of Tig Notaro is brilliant, I think. I love Tig Notaro. I love her in this role, and I haven't even seen it yet. So that's my, that is one thing is I have every intention of watching this movie. But I just haven't gotten to it yet because we've been marathoning Rebels. That's for another time. Anyway, so I'm excited. The scary part, and this is just something that I've been worried about for a while, is the AI ability of them to do this. There's, if you've ever seen, there's a website called thispersondoesntexist.com, and it's AI generated faces from pictures that are public access on the internet. And it's crazy how real these people look. So the fact that we can edit out Chris D'Elia, which is great, from a movie and put in Tig Notaro, I love it. But it makes me scared to be like, man, am I going to like wake up one day and be in the sequel to Eyes Wide Shut 2 and be like, that's not me, and no one be able to prove it? I don't know. Pretty scary.
Oh, spooky. Interesting. Hot take on that. I like it. All right, Rachel, bringing us up. What you got?
I feel like the pressure's on. if you guys hadn't noticed, based on my last answer, I'm kind of a wuss when it comes to entertainment. I don't like things that are too scary. Sure. So I have not seen this movie, and I probably won't see this movie because zombies. Sure. But I'm definitely
Says
on the same
host
train.
Of a murder podcast.
You know, I'm the softy of the group. I'm
hey,
like
and
the
to
baby
be fair,
spice.
It's fake murder, okay? No yeah. real murder so, is actually happening.
So
on that
is
show.
This movie. No real zombies got killed.
Right. That we know of. But yeah, I'm totally on board with everything that Haley said earlier. People who have child pornography and exploitation allegations pressed against them don't deserve platforms. So if it's between scrapping an entire project that you spent millions of dollars on just because some a-hole messed things up for everybody or replacing people with green screens and CGI, replace away, my friend.
Man,
replace away.
All the money in the world, better movie without Spacey. Rapey Spacey.
Mm. Oh, so it's so true. Man, this is good because you all, I mean, you're all right. You know, like you're all, yeah. you're all right. Man. Okay. So at the end of the first question of round two, I'm going to award Haley, you're getting 17 points. Why? Because I can make up however many points I want to give away. And you're getting 17 points. And the main reason is because you were just like, straight to the point, right? You were like, fuck Chris D'Elia. I'm down with this. I don't want to see anybody who deserves to be canceled getting any sort of play anywhere in the entertainment sphere, period. End of discussion. It doesn't matter. I loved that. I applauded it. And because of it, I gave you 17 points. Jay, I awarded you 15 points because you were close too. You were passionate, but you brought up something that I didn't even think about, which is it is a little scary. Face swap technology these days, right? Like being able to just kind of, it's also like really hilarious. Like I've seen some hilarious stuff generated by these deep fakes, as you will say, but it was something I didn't even think about. I highly doubt you will end up in the sequel to Eyes Wide Shut, but you never know, my friend. You never
I mean,
know.
I'm directing it, so it could happen.
You want to have the ability to not be in that role, right? That's your it's yes. your face, your choice, is what you're saying. So that said,
right,
Rachel, I gave you 16 points. You just squeaked out Jay because Jay's answer, while good, that wasn't really the question. Face swapping technology worries weren't necessarily the problem. The question is, should we be replacing shitty people with better people in movies? And the answer is a resounding yes. And I very much liked your, I liked your answer. And so you're getting 16 points, but guys, it's really anybody's game at this point, right? We've got Haley at 27 points, Jay at 24 points, Rachel at 26 points. Going into question number two.
Well, not the big guns.
With news dropping that Timothée Chalamet will be portraying Willy Wonka in a new origin story. Wait. Is that real? Oh. Yeah, that's real. Okay. Well, yeah, I just want to know your thoughts on this. So, Timothy Chalamet as Willy Wonka in a prequel. And Jay, go.
Timothy Chalamet, great. Willy Wonka prequel, not great. End result, possibly great.
I did not see that left turn coming. Didn't.
Here's the thing. Here's my honest opinion on it. It's like, if we had Edward Scissorhands era Tim Burton with his sets and his, you know, that visual style directing Timothy Chalamet in that style of prequel, 1,000% on board. That can be done. That could be great. That is not what is going to happen. So I'm not on board with it.
Okay. I feel like your answer took so many turns. You were like, I know. Could be great. And then yes, when you gauged our reactions, you were kind of like, actually not great, I think, is what I
No, I didn't had no idea. I wasn't.
That's too late. Your answer has been recorded in the books.
Yep. No, I'm back. My answer is like Willy Wonka himself, unpredictable.
Haley, what do you got?
I think Timothy is a great actor. Is he a standout actor? No. He's a indie film crush that everybody's got right now. He's hot. He's popping. He's got a certain quality to him, but does he have the spunk of Gene Wilder and Johnny Depp to show that origin story? No.
Oh, interesting.
I'm very excited to see where they go with it because I love Willy Wonka, but I feel the same way. I don't know. I don't know.
So many on the fence answers. Rachel, are you on the fence about Timothy Chalamet as Willy Wonka?
I am not. My initial response is no, thank you. We don't need another one of these.
Sure. Sure.
I think I love Gene Wilder. Should have just ended with Gene Wilder. Granted, I did love the new Charlie and the Chocolate Factory when it came out. I saw it like 5 times in theaters. But my major concern is, doesn't it seem like some strange prophecy is unfolding? Like Timothy Chalamet dating Lily Rose Depp, and now he plans to reprise a role that Johnny Depp once played. And all I gotta say is, dude, watch out.
I didn't even put that connection together.
First off, I have zero idea who Timothy Chalamet is shagging nowadays. So that's a surprise to me right there. So weird. That's very... All right.
Man, this was... You just blew my mind. I'm going to go ahead and give it 20 points to Rachel right there.
Wow.
Boom.
That brings you to 46. Man, I don't even know. I don't even know. I will say, I got to throw some of these comments up here because the audience is cracking me up right now. I really liked OC back at it with make Willy based off the books and be a serial killer.
I'm okay with that. Yes.
But I also like that even that statement is as contradictory as all of your answers. Because it's like, base it off the books, but make it something it's not at all in the books. I love it.
He's sort of a serial killer.
Justin feels what I am feeling right now, which is I've seen less turns at an F1 track. Like, all of these answers are just like, I'm shocked. I don't know what's going on. But everybody knows Rachel, one of your cohorts of the Murder, She Joked podcast is watching right now. Courtney Warner is an unabashed Timothy Chalamet fan. And her comments have been telling a really wonderful word story. So I just want to throw some up here. She both loves Timothy and Willy Wonka. She was shocked by your answers. Haley, especially.
Haley.
Baffled. And then finally, you all make her mad. I just love, there was a real story being told there that was just unfolding, and I loved it. So Rachel, 20 points awarded. Jay, I awarded you 10 points. That brings you to 34. Because you like, I don't even know what your answer was. It was kind of both things, more so than anybody else's, I think. So you got 10. You got half of what Rachel got because Rachel, she's just banging it out there. Haley, I think I'm feeling. I think I'm feeling 13 points. So that, at the end of round two, that brings us with Haley with 40 points, Rachel with 46 points, and Jay with 34 points.
Oh, yeah.
Math has never been your strong suit, and neither is winning this game. We'll see you later. Everybody say bye to Jay.
Bye, Jay. Miss you.
Guys, this is it. This is, you two are the last two standing on the last word. You about to go head to head for the final, just kill or be killed question of round three. Actually kind of missed Jay's commentary. The last round powered by Geek Grind Coffee. You guys know the drill. Go to geekgrindcoffee.com/project-nerd and use promo code PRONERD20 for 20% off your first order. Beep, beep, pam, 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 sponsors. Now let's get into the meat of the game, guys. This is it. This is for all the street cred in the world. And everybody knows street cred is specifically funneled through Project Nerd's The Last Word. That's how it gets doled out to people. Yep. Everybody knows that. So if you want it, this is the only way to get it. Round three, this is more of an opinion piece. And because I'm the judge, let's hope you have a good opinion. I want to know what your favorite childhood toy was. I mean, it could be a board game, it could be a video game system, it could be an action figure, hell, it could even be a Cornhusk doll. Tell me your favorite and why it should see a resurgence with kids of today. I will judge you, and only one of you will come out alive. Let's go with Rachel.
I got two words for you, Q.
All right, hula ready. Hoop.
Hula hoop.
Interesting.
When I was a kid, I dominated a hula hooping, man. You couldn't stop me. I could do that thing where you spin it around your neck and then go down to your waist and then all the way down to your ankle without stopping. That's skill.
I love it. Did you ever have like a record amount of times that you hula'd and or hooped it? Like, were you like, I did 300 in a row, or I did it for an hour and a half straight, no breaks?
No, but our school did have a hula hoop contest on field day every year, and I won every single year except for one year when Caitlin Singleton tied with me.
Nice. I like that you just name dropped Caitlin. She so everybody, it. you just doxed her on Project Nerd. The Last Word.
Listen,
everybody's coming after you, Caitlin.
I haven't seen that girl in 20 years. Caitlin, if you're out there, I love you and miss you. I still remember that day. Still remember drinking Faygo. And
you owe her a championship rematch. So,
yeah, for sure.
Listen, and it'll be aired on Project Nerd. Caitlin, if you listen to this episode, Rachel formally challenges you to a hula hoop off live on Project Nerd.
I like it.
You got more?
I was just going to say it needs to be resurged. Because we got to spend more time outside, man. Too many screens.
Sure.
Too many screens. Too much TikTok.
The simplicity,
mm-hmm.
if you will, of a hula hoop. It's just like a pure, simple childhood toy, right? Mm-hmm. Like no frills, just outdoor hooping.
Yeah. It doesn't pretend to be something it's not.
You're right. Except for those glittery, sparkly ones that I saw when I was a kid. Those were like trying too hard to be like, hey, We're not your mom and dad's hula hoops. We're cool hula hoops.
Calm down.
Right.
Calm down.
Those were hard to hoop.
Not plastic. It's good enough for me.
Give me one with like fireworks that go around it. And I'm like, now that's a hula hoop I want to see in action.
When I play outside, I want to feel like I'm at a rave.
Exactly. Look, I did it. I have great hip maneuverability. These hips don't lie. Shakira.
I'm weak.
All right, Haley, what do you got? What was your favorite childhood toy and why should it make a comeback?
I'm going to be the complete opposite. She said no screens. I'm going all screens. I want my GameCube back, dude. I would do anything. I absolutely loved my GameCube. I like my Nintendo Switch. I like my Wii. But I want a good, solid Nintendo, like, actual console again. Like, I feel like a GameCube is a perfect system to remake and still be, like, old school. But we've already seen the 64, like, a little modern throwback.
Oh, I am, guys, and so you think, why do you think that kids of today need a GameCube? We know why you liked it. Why do kids today need to experience all that is Nintendo GameCube?
I feel like there's so much, like, soul in an actual console. Like, I know you can get the dock for the Switch and everything, but it's really not the same. Like, the smoothness of the graphics, everything like that. Like, Nintendo is just unmatched. And I feel like they were at their prime when they were making the consoles, like the physical consoles, and screw Xbox and PlayStation. The kids need Nintendo.
Kids need Nintendo.
The kids need Nintendo.
Put that on a shirt.
Yes.
Boy, we're going to have so many shirts after this. I love
it. Right? We've already got one.
Guys, this is hard because, you know, as a parent, I sometimes do feel like, you know, hey, less screen time is important, you know, but as a kid raised primarily by a television, I also understand the benefit of screens because it made me who I am today. This is a tough one. I love it because you're both on so opposite ends of the spectrum. Right? I think that's what makes it so hard. So I'm just going to have to go with my gut and what I like best. Rachel, I'm going to award you 100 points for this round. That brings your total to 146 points.
She raking
it. And Haley, I am going to award you 375 points.
Oh my God.
That brings you to a total of 415 points and makes you tonight's winner. And the main reason I gotta say, and I'm just gonna throw it out here, I do love a good hula hoop, and I'm gonna be totally honest, Courtney is 100% behind a championship rematch between Rachel and Caitlin. It needs to happen, but even Courtney, even your friend was blown away by the answer.
At two Brute,
I know.
Come on.
Tough. Tough, tough, tough.
I love you anyway, baby girl.
So that said, everybody, thank you so much, Rachel, for joining us. We'll have you back here in just a minute, but it is time for Haley to get her uninterrupted last word. Bye, Rachel.
Bye, Rachel. Bye. You're awesome.
Haley, let me congratulate you on being tonight's winner of the last word. How does it feel? Are you going to Disney World?
It feels like it, so I'll just take my mental trip there and call it a day.
Excellent, perfect. Yes. Well, I'm gonna step back. I'm gonna give you your 30 seconds. You do or say whatever it is you want to do. Okay.
All right.
Here we go.
Guys, I'm super excited that I just won the last word. I had the last word. I'm having the last word. I'm starting a new series. It airs in August called The Horror Knot. You might as well check me out. You're going to be seeing a lot of me on Project Nerd Festivities. Super excited. Yeah, Q, come get me whenever you whenever you're ready.
You're like, save me.
Come
save
get me.
30 seconds is too much time. I don't like it.
I got nervous. My chest was getting all red. I was like,
that was great. I loved it. You did a great job. Let's bring everybody back in.
Yes.
Let's see. Rachel, Jay, Mia. Thank you guys so much. Everybody give them a round of applause for being amazing contestants tonight on The Last Word. Don't forget.
I sure was. Catch
us every other week, live streaming on Wednesdays, and the episodes are posted to the Project-Nerd YouTube channel the following Thursday. That said, make sure you check out Project Nerd for all of the amazing upcoming goodness. You've got shows from me and Jay and me. You've got Rachel with Murder, She Joked. You've got Haley with The Horror Knot. Guys, tune in. The rest of 2021 is going to be an amazing year. And with that being said, I guess I will have the last word, and I'll say see you guys later.